But I want us to take a few moments as we look at a new topic that we're going to look at in these coming weeks called Making Life Count. Making Life Count. And it's based around this lovely verse from Galatians 5, verse 6, that says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And so we're going to explore, how do we make our lives count? How do we make them count in a pandemic? How do we make them count in work, in our families? How do we make our lives count? And the answer is through faith. Through faith. Galatians 3, verse 20 tells us that we all become children of God by faith. By faith. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are children of God. He becomes our refuge. And that's the great hope that we have, that we who have faith can know that we take refuge in God because we become children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. And that's why we gather. And that's why we worship as children of God, knowing that we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And that changes everything. And that means we can make our life count. But the whole book of Galatians, which this verse we're looking at comes from, is a cry from Paul, a cry to him to not turn back. This whole point is this book of Galatians. It's probably Paul's first letter. And it's a very passionate letter. And his cry is, don't turn back. Because the danger was that though they'd put their faith in Jesus, though they were children of God, they were turning back to their old ways. They were turning back to their old confidences. They were reversing back into their old way of living. They weren't living by faith. They were living in their old ways. And partly for them was going back into Judaism. Going back to the old law, going back to getting people to be circumcised again. And Paul is very strong. In fact, in the part of his letter in Galatians 5, verse 12, he says, those who are teaching you to do that ought to go and castrate themselves. He is really angry and passionate to say that actually you cannot go back. And during this pandemic, I believe that lots of people are turning back. They're going back in reverse. During a pandemic, people are going back to old habits, old tendencies, old beliefs, old coping mechanisms. Because of the stress that we are in, the troubled times that we're in, and people are going back. And the point of this letter and the point where this verse comes is to say that actually going back will mean that you will live lives that will count for nothing, that will be worthless, that do not value Christ at all. And the encouragement is to actually go forward. Now, this is written not to those who don't have faith, who aren't children of God. This is written to those who are children of God. And the tendency is to go back to our old things that drove us, to go back to our old ways. And I just want to take a moment to look at those things, to look at what is the driving force of your life. What is it that drives you? When we talk about the word drive, we look up in the dictionary and it says to guide, control, or direct. To guide, control, or direct. What is the driving force of your life at the moment? What is it that is directing you, guiding you, controlling you? It may be a problem. It may be pressure. It may be a deadline. It may be a painful memory. It may be grief. But what is driving you? What is the driving force of your life? For as Christians, Paul is saying the driving force of our life should be Christ. Galatians 2, he says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in Christ Jesus. That should be the driving force. But at times like this, it's easy to go back to our old things that drive us. And I think a pandemic and the trouble and the stress can reveal, as we go back, can reveal some of those deep down driving forces of our lives that we have hidden, that we've covered up with busyness, with life. And actually, during this pandemic, it's a troubling time. And we're beginning to see in us some of those issues that we haven't really dealt with coming to the surface. Some of those driving things in our life, the driving forces in our life that we have covered up, that we have filled, actually coming to the surface. And actually, this pandemic can be a healthy time for us spiritually as we perhaps deal with some of those driving forces in our life that aren't faith, so that we can bring faith into them to ensure that the life we live by faith. So what are some of these driving forces? And Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which is a fantastic book, and if you haven't read it, I'd encourage you during this lockdown to read it. He recalls five driving forces that are typical. These aren't all of them, but these are five typical driving forces that people turn to. And they are guilt, they are anger, they are fear, they are materialism, and they are approval. These are five common drivers in our life. And we see some of these in the people of God in Galatians, their return to Judaism, because their life was driven not by faith, but by some of these other drivers. Perhaps they were driven to go back to Judaism by guilt. And many of us live with guilt and haven't dealt with the guilt in our lives. Galatians 5, verse 4, he challenges them to say, you're trying now to be justified by the law. You're trying to overcome your guilt with the law. Verse 4, you are trying to be justified. The law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. They were trying to deal with the guilt that they felt in their lives. And they were trying to find that not in faith in Jesus, but they were trying to do that by going back to the law. Going back to feel they had to pay a debt to make up for what they had done. They were seeking to be justified again. They felt the guilt and the shame, and they were trying to make up for what they have done. We are all products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of our past. But as we live in guilt, as we live in shame of our past, we can then allow that to drive our life, to drive even our religious life, that we do things for God out of guilt or out of shame, to try somehow to repay God, to make up for God. And actually, deep down, our driving force is our guilt. Is that you? Are you feel guilty about your past? Are you ashamed of your past? And you've never actually known what it is to overcome. You're held back by your past, by guilt. The second driver Rick Warren refers to is anger and resentment. That we're still driven, still seeking to get over those hurts that people have done to us, those things people have done to us deliberately or by accident, those who have hurt us. And we're still trying to get over it. In verse 28 of chapter 3, these famous verses that Paul reminds them that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is a sense that these divisions, these things that held them back in their past, the things that they were resentful of being male or female or being slave or free, these things that they were resentful, they were angry about. And they're still dealing with how they felt about how they've been treated, how they've been looked over, the lot that they'd been dealt with. And there was resentment. And they were living lives trying to make up, trying to prove to others that they could overcome, that they could achieve. But it was based out of anger and resentment. The problem with anger is you either clam up or you bust up. Some of us are angry and it is obvious by the way we explode. And some of us are struggling with that in the pressure of a pandemic. But some of us clam up. We turn in on ourselves. And actually it reveals a deep driving force of anger or resentment. Another one is fear. Fear, afraid of others, afraid to step out, afraid to take risks. We read even Peter in chapter 3 was afraid. In chapter 2, verse 12 of Galatians, we read that Paul calls Peter out and says, before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but then he arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. He couldn't live as he wanted. His life wasn't driven by faith. It was driven by fear. Fear of others in this case that stop us doing and living the way we want to or the way we should. We live in fear. Fear is a driver. During this pandemic, many people are fearing and revealing this pandemic is that they live their lives in fear of death, as the writer to the Hebrews tells, and humanity lives in fear of death. There are different fears, fear of others, fears of death, or the new fear, FOMO, as they tell me, the fear of missing out. And in a pandemic, looking at Facebook and social media can be so damaging because we think their lives are so good, so different from mine. And we have this FOMO, this fear of missing out, and we live our lives driven by fears. The fourth driving force in many lives is materialism. Materialism, this idea that we can achieve, we can be happy if we have more, or if we are more important or more secure, that somehow this world can offer us what we need. And certainly Paul encourages them later in Galatians 5. That these fleshly desires that we pour our life into to give us happiness will actually only enslave us. Because material things cannot provide lasting happiness. Success, making yourself successful in your work, cannot provide your happiness. And security of money cannot provide you with happiness. It cannot make your life valuable. It will only end in short-term pleasure. And many people are living their lives thinking materialism, if I have more, if I become more, if I achieve more, if I have more to make me secure. But actually this pandemic is revealing to us that material things don't matter. Success doesn't matter. And we can't ever be secure. And finally, the fifth thing Rick Warren reminds us is people live often with the drive to find approval of others. To find the approval of others. Galatians 1, verse 10. Paul says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? He was saying that most of them were probably trying to live with the approval of human beings and therefore letting go of the gospel. They were more interested in what other people said about them than what God said about them. And they were living to get approval. And many of us are living our lives to seek approval. Approval of the paternal figures that may have never given us that approval. Approval of our peers so that we fit in. And so we do, our life is driven so that our peers will recognize us and include us. But it's driven by the need for approval. What drives your life? Are you driven by guilt? Are you driven by anger? Are you driven by fear? Are you driven by materialism? Are you driven by approval? What is it that drives your life? And during this pandemic, with lots of the external things stripped from us, perhaps it's revealing what is at the heart of your life, what is driving your life. But here, Paul challenges the people to not go back, to not look to these drivers of life that we had before we came to faith, to remember what faith does, to remember faith isn't just a thing that we did when we came to know Jesus. Faith is what we live by every day. We choose faith in Jesus because faith in Jesus takes our guilt and replaces it with forgiveness. It's only faith in Jesus, the gospel, that helps us realize we can never make up for all the things we've done wrong. We can never change the shame or the guilt we fear. There's nothing that we can do to do it. The gospel is not about what we do, it's about what Jesus has done. And faith in Jesus removes guilt. It removes shame. And if we want to know that we live from faith and not guilt, we need to come to Jesus and receive his forgiveness so that we live free. Faith replaces anger with hope. Anger with hope that actually we come to know the hope of the gospel, that actually our future is not defined by our past. Our future is defined by our hope in Jesus and the blessings that are ours. Because as Galatians 3:29, as Paul reminds us, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That through the Spirit we eagerly await the righteousness for which we hope. Because ultimately we have a hope. Our future is not defined by what others have said or done to us. Our future is based in the gospel, what Jesus has achieved for us. And we live as hope to know that we will be all that God has made us to be, that Christ will complete the work, that we have the hope of the future. Faith replaces fear with freedom. That famous verse, Galatians 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. That we don't need to be enslaved by material things or success or the need to achieve or for money. We don't serve two masters, we're set free. The gospel says we are free to find our joy, to find our freedom in God and in his blessing upon us. Because perfect love drives out fear, 1 John 4 verse 18 tells us. Faith replies materialism with eternity, the hope and the future of God's blessing. That we receive everything from God, not by what we can earn and what we can achieve or what can we buy, but by faith. Paul in Galatians 3, chapter 3, he says, I would like to just learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of law or by believing what you heard? So again, I ask you, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by you believing what you heard? We receive the goodness of God, the blessings of God, the gifts of God, the future of God, not by achieving them, not by buying them, not by serving God, but by believing, by faith, that they are ours in Christ Jesus. That if we want to receive the joy of the Spirit, if we want to receive the gift of the Spirit, if we want to receive the miracles of the Spirit, if we want to receive all the goodness of eternity that God has for us, we do that by faith, not with money, not by buying more, but by faith. And finally, faith replaces the need for approval with unconditional love. Unconditional love. That we don't need to win approval because we have approval. Galatians 4, verse 6, Paul reminds us, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. God replaces our need of approval with his unconditional love by faith. By faith. And therefore, as we live by faith, we can know and receive forgiveness to remove the guilt and shame. We can receive hope to know that our future is determined not by others, but by God. We can know freedom from our fears, freedom to step out and trust that God is for us. We can have the fruit of the Spirit, eternity in the present by the Spirit, that is above anything that we can buy, anything we can imagine, anything we can hope for, and it is secure. And by faith, we can receive the unconditional love of a God. There's nothing you can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. You have his love. You are his child. You have his approval. So stop being driven by the need to get others to approve you. That's what faith does. That's what living by faith does. And anything else that you are driven by, faith needs to replace. To know that as we put our faith in Jesus, we can know freedom. We can live in hope and trust and with the blessings and approval of God. That's what living by faith is. It's not just putting our faith in Jesus when we become Christians to know that we are children of God. It is living every day by faith, trusting him for our forgiveness, our hope, our freedom, our eternity, and his unconditional love. And we put faith in the driving seat. We put our trust in Jesus. We allow Jesus to drive us, to guide us, to control us. And we live in freedom. That's the only thing that counts, faith. But how do I know that I have that faith? Galatians 5, 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Do you want to know if faith is at the driving center of your life? Do you want to know that you're driven by faith in Jesus, in the gospel of Jesus? Do you want to know that it's changed your life? It controls your life. You're living by faith. Well, the fruit of this faith is love. Is love. Because faith produces love. And do you want to know is if faith is driving your life? It will produce love. It will produce love in your families, love in our church, love in our community. It will produce love. Now, that doesn't mean that love accepts everything, because the love of God means that we're not selfish. We don't seek human, our own pleasures, our own selfishness, as Galatians 5 tells us. We don't gratify the desires of our flesh, because that's not loving. But I love God, love others, and it produces love. Do you see that love in your home? Do we see that love in our church? Do you see that love in your workplace? If you are, then you're living by faith. You're making faith count in your homes, in your church, in your workplaces. But if you're not seeing love, if you're not seeing love transform everything, then can I suggest you may be driven by something else? And you need to come to Jesus. Come to a fresh understanding of putting your faith in Jesus and what he's done for you, and allowing him to remind you you are a child of God. That you can live from that place of acceptance, approval, freedom, hope, eternity, and forgiveness. And when you've truly received that, it will bear the fruit of love in your marriage, with your children, with your parents, with your neighbors, in your church. Because love is the fruit of faith. And over the coming weeks, we're going to look at what does it mean to put faith at the heart of our homes, heart of our workplaces, heart of our church. What does it mean to put faith at the heart of it, that love will be the fruit, that our communities, our families, and our world will be changed? And that's what we're going to look at this series, to say how, what does faith at the heart of these look like? And how can I see love produced in these ways? But it begins by making sure that we're living from faith, realizing that there's only one thing that counts. There's only one thing of value. There's only one thing that can produce love. And that's faith in Jesus. And we're going to come and share communion in a moment. And as we do that, we are putting our faith again in Jesus, in the gospel, in his death and resurrection, as the only thing that counts in my life, that I trust Jesus for his forgiveness. I don't need to do anything else to get forgiveness, faith. I don't need anything else to get freedom, faith. I don't need anything else to get approval of God, faith. It is all about faith in Jesus and to receive that into our lives. But I want to close with a quote from someone who clearly lived by faith, to show that it is faith that bears love that is the thing that will change our world. Martin Luther King. At his church, Ebenezer Baptist Church, on 4th of the February 1968, 2 months before he was assassinated, he said these words: "Every now and then, I guess we all think realistically about that day when we'll be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something we call death. We all think about it. And every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral. And I don't think of it in a morbid sense. Every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. Every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King tried to love somebody. I want to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. And I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world overwrought, if I can spread the message as the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Brothers and sisters, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Some of you don't believe me, but it's not me, it's God's word. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's why we come back to faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in his death and resurrection that brings me forgiveness, that removes my fear, that gives me hope, that gives me eternity and a taste of eternity by the Spirit now, and gives me unconditional love and acceptance. That is faith. The faith that produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Faith in Jesus that can take those driving forces of your past, the things that you've relied on, the things that you found comfort, the things that have got you to be where you are today. It wants to replace them by faith, trusting in Jesus, receiving his love, his forgiveness, and trusting in what he has done. Not relying on others, not expectant on others, not relying on ourselves, but faith in Jesus Christ. Because these three remain, these three count, these three last: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And we reflect on that as we worship the God of love, as we survey the wondrous cross and receive afresh and put our faith again in the love of Jesus for us.